You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
My name's Brian. Nice to meet you. Yes, you're good. Thank you, Matthew. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's when you learn to do something, there's like a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, right? So, for example, sometimes you might want to, like, if we'll take sports for an example. This is good. So if you're playing basketball, anybody can get a basketball and throw it at a hoop. But that's not the same thing as learning the right way to shoot a basketball, to shoot a jump shot, right? And if you learn that, then you can repeat it, and it's kind of beautiful, and it's good. In the same way, you could go to a soccer pitch, and you could have a ball, and everyone could chase the ball around like kindergartners do, if you've ever seen that. But that's not the same thing as knowing the right way to play, to learning spacing and when to move around. Music's the same way. You could get an instrument, and I could pound away on it all day long, even if I was good, as loud as I wanted, as much as I could, and that's not really music. There's a right way to do it. There's a way where we actually rest and don't play. And sometimes we play quieter, and sometimes we play louder. So it's kind of interesting. Like, it can be the case that when something isn't done right enough, it becomes something different. Let me give you an example. For example, I like really good coffee. So if you've ever had fresh roasted, fresh ground coffee, anybody? Yes, praise the Lord. No? Okay. I'm the only one. That's too bad for you. But if you have that, and then you have like Folgers, like one of them just isn't the same. Like it's just not what it really is. For another example might be music. So like maybe you've heard really good music, and then maybe you've heard country, which is not really good music. Okay, yes. All right, good. Well, you're awake. That's good. That's good. So my wife, she makes this really amazing apple pie. And even if I have the recipe and I do everything I can to do it right, I'm not going to make it the right way. And I'm telling you all this to say this, that part of what I think happens sometimes when we talk about following in this way of Jesus, what it means to really be a Christian, I think sometimes we're told, and probably often not intentionally, but we're given this thing about what it means to be a follower of Jesus that isn't really right. It's not the best kind of life. And so we're in this series called The Best Kind of Life because Jesus says it this way, John 10:10, I came that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. More and better life. And this is what we're trying to communicate, that there is a better life, which leads us to this question, and whether you've asked it out loud this way or not, I'm guessing most of you have asked it, which is this, is following Jesus, is Christianity really a better life? It's a good question. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, for this time to be together. We thank you for your spirit that moves, and we pray that you would, as the true teacher, that you would come and teach us, soften our hearts to what you would have for us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a young man, his name was Evan. It's still Evan. He's not dead. This young man named Evan. I met him right when he came to, basically, he was a freshman in college. I met him. And he had just come to Christ. He grew up not in the church at all, none of that stuff. And so he was on fire. Like he had just pretty much brand new baby Christian and was on fire for Jesus. And maybe you've met somebody like this before. Maybe that was you at some point. But like everybody he met was like he was sharing Jesus with and like all those things. And so Evan was super on fire and he and I met and we struck up a really good friendship. And so we started this discipling relationship. It was really great for he and I both. And that lasted a couple years. And then after a couple years, we parted ways and we didn't really see each other. We were in different parts of the country for a couple years. And then we came back together, and I'll never forget this conversation I had with him when we came back together. And I was really excited to be with him. Like, again, we were pretty close for a while. And so when I see him for the first time, it was clear he was not doing really well. You know, like he was depressed, and he was kind of, like you could tell something wasn't right. And I was like, Evan, how's it going, man? And he said, well, I'll be honest with you, Brian, because you're Brian and because I know you. But he said, I'm really anxious. He said, I just can't hardly do anything. And I said, why? And he said, well, because I just have this incredible fear of failing. And in particular, like, especially around my faith, like, I feel like I'm always going to fail God. Like, I feel like there's always more to do. And so when I realize I can't really do enough and I can't do it really well, then I get angry. And then I want more control, and then I can't do it. And then it's just, I'm just anxious all the time. And I said, well, Evan, you know, if I can be honest with you, because that's how we roll, it kind of sounds like you're being a perfectionist. And then he kind of joked with me. He said, yeah, that's what other people say, but they don't pronounce it right. And I said, okay. Yeah. I said, but I said, what's going on? And he said, well, if I'm honest, he said, I hate admitting this, but I actually really do care what other people think about me. And so I'm in this place all the time where I'm frustrated. And so, to be honest, Brian, I'm exhausted. Like, I feel like I'm not enough. I'm trying harder, and I do more, and then I feel like God shows me more, and I have to do more, and I'm just exhausted. And I said, well, it kind of sounds like you're trying to be a superhero. And he said, I'm no superhero. And I said, yeah, I know. And then I said, me neither. But I said, here's the thing. Sometimes in our faith, when we feel like we've got to be like, maybe some people in this room could relate to this. I don't know. But sometimes we feel like we've got to be the perfect role model for everyone. And we can't ever make a mistake. And sometimes we feel like everybody's kind of watching us. And so we feel like we've got to put on this face all the time. And so what we start doing when we realize we can't ever be really perfect is, again, maybe somebody in this room can relate to this, I don't know, but what happens is we really oftentimes start comparing ourselves to other people and say, well, at least I'm not like that person, at least I'm not like them, at least I do better than them, at least I don't say that bad word when I hit my thumb with the hammer, you know, whatever it is. And so it kind of becomes interesting, and Evan's like, man, you kind of seem like you know what you're talking about here. And I said, yeah, because I've struggled with this a lot. And I said, well, Evan, because I know you, can I just ask you this? Like, what's God doing? Like, how do you feel like, what's God doing right now? And he said, well, if I'm honest, I feel like God's asking me to be perfect. Like, it's the impossible ask. He said, and so I feel like, again, I just keep trying harder and doing more. And I feel like in God's eyes, I'm never enough. And I said, man, that's got to be really difficult. Like, if that's what's going on, that's like a God I don't know if I could trust. And he took a deep breath, and he let it out. And he said, yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, but yeah, if I'm honest, I don't really feel like God's loving at all right now. I don't think he's trustworthy. I feel like he's really distant. Like, when I cry out to him, I feel like he's absent. It's not like it was when I first came to faith. And so I said, well, Evan, why did you say you can't believe you're saying this? And he said, well, for one, I don't know how okay it is to be that honest about how I feel about God. I said, okay, well, let's just assume that it is okay to be honest. I said, well, what's different now about the way you see God and what maybe you saw, the ways you saw God before? And he said, well, before, when I experienced God, he was loving and he was kind and he was present with me with Jesus. Like, I just sensed him all the time, and I knew he was with me and for me. And I said, okay, that sounds like a pretty good God. And I said, well, if that's the kind of God you remember, like, where did those things come from? And he said, well, that's easy. That came from the Bible, and I can tell you the verses. You know, he started just naming it. Like, God is trustworthy, and he just goes into it. God's given me his love, and God sees me, and God calls me, and God equips me, and God asks me to trust him. And I said, well, that sounds like a really good God. So I said, what if for a minute we just put aside the kind of the God that you feel right now, that you don't feel right now, and what if you really started to embrace this God that you've heard these promises of and that you've experienced in your life before? And I said, what would that make you? And so Evan, in his honesty, he said, you know, this is the thing, like, when I'm with that God, then I feel like I'm seen, like I really, God knows who I am, that I'm loved and that I'm called and I'm equipped to do what God asked me to do, that I'm forgiven, that God can love me and love through me. And that's totally different than this other way I've been living. And I said, yeah, that's a God that wants freedom for you. He wants you to live in love, joy, and peace. That's the best kind of life that we're talking about. And I take this time to share this conversation with you, not to kind of embarrass Evan in any way, but he's not in the room. But I share that with you because I come back to that conversation a lot in my life. And I don't know about you, but I find myself in it because sometimes I forget who God really is. And sometimes I get so caught up in doing the good stuff. And it just becomes more and more and more and more. And I feel like my faith has to be something that I perform. And so I do more and I try harder and it gets to be less and less and not enough and not enough. And to be honest, that's not, just hear me, that is not who God is and that's not what God's calling you to be. Jesus wants to give you the best kind of life, a life of freedom. Some say Christianity is about perfection. Some say Christianity is about being the perfect kind of role model. And I just want to say no. A real relationship with Jesus is freedom. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that you have been set free. It's not just so that you can have another yoke of slavery. It's not just so that you have another list of things that you have to do. God wants you to live in freedom. And what happens sometimes when we come to faith, and like Evan, maybe early on in our faith, or maybe for some of us as we get older, the corruption starts. And I don't mean the corruption from the world. I mean oftentimes the corruption from the church and the people in it. And what I mean is they start telling us you're not enough and you got to start doing more and you got all this laundry list of stuff you're supposed to be doing. And I just want to say to you, that's not at all of God. What God wants is for you to live in freedom. And so you might ask, how do I do that? Well, the way we do that is to surrender our life. There's a great example of this in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, if you turn with me, Exodus 3 and 4. If you're wondering, page 41 and 42 in the Bible in front of you. Yes, I did the work for you. You're welcome. So Exodus 3 is this really interesting story that where God is wanting to free his people who are enslaved by the Egyptians. And so if you've seen Prince of Egypt, maybe you remember this. But like there's this bush that's burning, but it's not really burning up. And like God comes to this guy named Moses and he calls him. Now, I don't know what you know about Moses, but Moses, like if this was a room full of all the people that were potential leaders to help God's people leave slavery, and Moses was in this room, none of us would have picked Moses. He would have been the last pick in the draft, no question about it. Because Moses was, he grew up in this really kind of bifurcated way. Like he was born of a Hebrew, but then he was raised in the palace of the Pharaoh by the Pharaoh's daughter. And so like he has this, like he doesn't really know who he is. Like it's clear if you read the story, he's mixed up about what his identity is. He doesn't really know who he is. He has anger issues. He murders somebody. He's a coward. He runs away from the accountability that was going to come with that. And then he finds himself in this other part of the world. And if you read between the lines a little bit, he's serving this guy. He marries his daughter. And he's a shepherd for him, and he's in all likelihood worshiping all kinds of other gods. The last person we would pick to be our leader to get people out of slavery. But God does come to him. And so there's this interesting conversation that happens. So God says, yeah, I'm calling you. And he says, well, do you know who I am really? And he's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I kind of do know who you are. And he reveals in so many, not so many words, but he reveals really clearly to Moses and Exodus 3, I know exactly who you are. And then Moses starts this list of excuses and all this. And then if you have your Bibles there, pick up in Exodus 4, verse 1 and 2. It'll be on the screen as well. Moses answered God in this conversation, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. Now, I have a staff here. This isn't exactly at all probably what Moses' staff looked like, but this is a good representation. This just is a piece of bamboo. There's nothing fancy or spectacular about this. But what's interesting is, so I actually got to talk to some people who are shepherds from that part of the world where in all likelihood Moses probably was. And I had this conversation with them, and they told me something interesting. They said, when you become a shepherd, they give you a staff. Now, their staff probably, you've seen it, probably has like a hook on the end or something like that. But you get this staff. And what's interesting is, so when they give it to you, it's a blank piece of wood. And they said for thousands of years, this is the way we've done it. So what happens is when you get it, and for many of them, it happens when they're a boy, they get this staff. And then as different things start to happen to them in their life, say, for example, when they start out, maybe they had to rescue one of the sheep from a ravine. What they would do is they would start carving images on their staff that represent the significant moments in their life. So maybe you would do something on this end like that, and then maybe there's a moment in your life where a bunch of predators came to take your sheep and you were able to fight them off, and you would carve that onto your staff. And then maybe at another point there was a big flood. Maybe outside. Maybe there's a big flood and you had to rescue your sheep. And so maybe you would carve that onto the staff. And so really what would happen, especially if you meet an old shepherd, like their staff has all of these carvings, these intricate carvings. Now, the other thing about shepherds is they have a lot of downtime. So they got time to make this look awesome. And so they usually look really good. But always, always, always for a shepherd, there's a blank part at the end for their future. Right? Even if they're really old, it might not be really long, but there's always a blank part for their future. So part of what God's asking Moses, he says, what's in your hand? And he says, a staff. Now, we can read that as protection, as my tool, as the thing I use to help me in my work, and that is true. But more than that, what Moses has in his hand is his life. And then I want you to see this. What does God say? The very next verse, if you'll put it up here, verse 3. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. And what God is wanting Moses to do, and if I can be really honest with all of us in this room, I think what God's asking us to do is not to do more and not to add more to our list and not to perform and not to put on these masks and these faces and pretend like we got it all together. Not to work on our Instagram account and make sure the pictures are perfect. It's not any of that. What God wants for us is to give not just a tool, but our entire life to him. Now, some of us, if we're honest, we might say, but Brian, you don't know my past. And maybe some of you are like, feel like Moses a little bit. You don't know the things I've done, the brokenness I've caused in people's lives. You don't know the ways that I have turned so deliberately away from God. But God does know. And what he's asking you to do is, will you give your life to him? Some of us might be saying, Brian, you don't understand. There's some things that have happened to me in my past that were not my choice. Things that people have done to me or I bear the consequences of. And I carry those around. And it's almost impossible for me to move on past those things. That's part of my story. That's part of my life. And I want to say to you, I don't know those things, but God does. And I'm not going to pretend when you surrender your life to God that all those things will magically go away or that everything will be perfect. But what I am going to tell you is if you're willing to give your life to God, you will find something, that God is with you. Now, some of us in this room, maybe the challenges are present today. Like some of us, it's going well. We got things figured out a little bit. We're kind of in control. We're kind of in control. And we feel like things are going really well. And so we say, why would I want to give my life up to you? I've kind of got this figured out. I've got the boyfriend or girlfriend I want. My grades are headed in a good direction. And I feel like I've got, you know, this kind of figured out. What's going on is going well for me. And I just want to say to you, God is asking, will you give me your life? Your past, your present. And then if I were to guess, maybe some of us in this room, maybe a lot of us in this room, just because of the age of most of you, are wondering about your future. Brian, if I give my future to God, what if he asked me to do something crazy? Like serve him? Like be a missionary or be a pastor? Or what if God, if I give my future to him, what if all my carefully curated plans that I've been working on for the last 6 years of my life, what if God leads a different direction? You don't understand. And again, hypothetically, speaking, I'm sure nobody in here can relate, but sometimes we want to be in control of our lives. And God is asking us something, just like he asked Moses, will you throw it down? And I wonder today if today is a day for some of us to quit playing this game, to quit putting on this face, to quit trying harder and doing more and believing this version of Christianity, if I can just be really honest with you, is not really Christianity at all. God wants to bring you freedom in your life. And something really amazing happens when we step into freedom. What happens is we quit worrying about what's going to happen if. We quit worrying about what other people think because the only one that matters is God, and that's what he thinks. And we can rest in his presence to be the person we're created to be. We don't have to try to be anybody else. We don't have to try to impress anybody else. We don't have to try to get a better job or be more in the center of whatever power we think is important. None of that matters. What God wants is for us to live in freedom. So the question is really pretty simple. Will you let go? Will you throw it down? Now, I want you to see the story. Something really interesting else happens here. Because once he throws it down, if you know the story, what happens to the staff? It becomes a snake. Now, the snake is, in that particular culture, is really significant because it represents evil. It represents all of these things of brokenness in our world. And let's be honest for a minute. Let's just try for a second. Maybe you can be honest with yourself and with God. When we pursue our way, when we pursue our things, when we do it our way, when we're in control, when it's our life, let's be honest, it's broken and it is not beautiful. But then what God says is to Moses, there's that snake on the ground. I want you to pick it up by its tail. And he reaches down and he picks it up. And what does it become? It becomes a staff again. And I want you to see this because part of what God wants you to do as you give your life to him, he wants to redeem those things that are broken. And he can. He wants to use your very life. And if you look at the story, the rest of Moses' life, the staff becomes an important tool for him to help people find freedom. In the same way, God wants to use your life, even the ugly parts, even the broken parts. He wants to bring those to him and make them whole so that he can use them to help others. But you can't live into that kind of freedom and you can't live into that kind of power unless you throw it down. So it's a really pretty simple, in many ways, question today. Will you throw it down? You've got this life that you've been kind of in control of, quote unquote. And God is so humble and he is so gracious, he doesn't make us do anything. And so he is inviting you today. Will you throw your life down? Will you give it to him? Quit playing the games, quit pretending. Will you give him your life? Maybe today. What if today is the day you quit performing? What if today is the day you gave God everything? What if today is the day you quit worrying about what everybody else thinks, about what the outcome of everything's going to be? What if you gave it all to him? We're going to sing, and I'm going to pray, and we'll sing, and the altars are open here. And I just wonder, maybe somebody in this room is at that spot where they're like, God, I've been holding on to my life with everything I got, and I hear you saying to me, will you throw it down? The invitation is here. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for this day, for the opportunities you give us to experience your love and your grace. God, for those times and those places where we've tried to perform our way, remind us that that's not who you are, that you see us and love us right where we are, and you want us to be who you've created us to be, not somebody else, not to perform, not to act like something else, not to try to be in control. God, your one ask of us is, will you give you everything? So God, today we pray that you would give us the courage, strength to let go and trust you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.